Cassette number 19, side 1, Patriotism on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 2, division D, Thought and Fire Elementals, on page 789. An interesting analogy, accurate on general lines, though in detail not so apparent, exists between the building of the antaskarana on mental levels between the mental unit and the manasic permanent atom, whereby the path of liberation is traveled and man set free, and the opening up of the channel between the center at the base of the spine and the brain, and thence to the head center. Page 790. Through this latter channel, man escapes out of the dense physical body, and continuity of consciousness between the astral and the physical planes is reached. In the one case, through right direction of force, the etheric web no longer forms a barrier. It is destroyed, and the man is fully conscious in the physical brain of what transpires on the astral plane. In the other case, the causal body also is eventually destroyed through the right direction of force. We will not here take up the specific work of building upon the scaffolding of the etheric body, the dense physical form. It has been sufficiently dealt with in other books. We will only want to touch upon two more points which are of interest in this consideration of the work of the lunar petries in building man's body. In connection with the building of the dense body, it should be stated that it appears as a human form much in the nature of a cross within the ovoid of the other spheres. It is notably of a fivefold nature: head, two arms, two legs. According to the position assumed by the man, he is seen as a symbol of the cross, and is then fourfold, the two legs being considered as one lower limb, or, if separated, as fivefold, and has been then considered as the symbol of the five-pointed star. This fivefold nature of the dense physical body is brought about through the fact that only five centers primarily are really active in average man up to the third initiation. All are there, and all are vitalized, but only five in this fivefold normal evolution are dominant. Page 791. The force emanating from these five, therefore, sweeps the dense substance into a close aggregation. As two of the centers are not functioning as actively as the other five, an ovoid is not formed as in the case of the etheric, astral, and mental sheaths. The fivefold shape of physical man is the result of the fivefold direction of force currents from five centers. It might be interesting also to point out that the interaction of the energy of the solar petries and of the lunar petries produces a very definite effect upon the lower group of lunar petries, and is one of the means whereby they will eventually reach the stage at which the solar petries are. This, if fully realized by man, will bring him to a very careful control of his sheaths and to a close attention to the direction in which his force or energy is turned. He is responsible for the work of aiding in the evolution of substance, being himself a Manasaputra. H. Incarnation and Karma. In resuming our consideration of the process pursued by the reincarnating ego, it is necessary to point out that the entire subject radically concerns energy, and that according to the place in evolution of the unit of force involved, so will the length of time required for the process be brief, or the reverse. In the early stages, the initiatory impulse is heavy and slow, and the matter required for the sheaths is of a correspondingly low grade, that is, it is of low vibratory capacity, and the time elapsing between the first vibration outwards on the mental plane and the coordination of the dense physical body is a long one. Later on, the vibration becomes more powerful, and the effects, therefore, are more rapidly felt. At the close of evolution, when the human unit is upon the path and consciously controlling his destiny and working off karma, the intervals intervening between two incarnations are brief, or not as the man may choose in the interests of the work to be done, and according to his intention to achieve liberation from form. Page 792. It must also be remembered that as the evolutionary process proceeds, the egoic activity calls out response not only from the substance in the three worlds, but also from the formless levels of the system. The response will be felt finally on monadic levels. Then, after a moment of equilibrium, the effect of the rhythm is felt entirely on the higher planes and leaves the lower. The word moment is used here in its occult significance to specify a period of time and must be considered as a period relative to a day or year of Brahma. One of the secrets of initiation is concerned with the apprehension of cycles and with their duration, and the following terms have to be appreciated: their duration recognized, and their antithesis, an intervening pralaya, duly considered before a man is considered a true occultist. A. 100 years of Brahma, an occult century, the period of a solar system. B. 1 year of Brahma, the period of seven chains, where the seven planetary schemes are concerned. C. 1 week of Brahma, the period of seven rounds in one scheme. It has a chain significance. D. 1 day of Brahma, the occult period of a round. E. 1 hour of Brahma, concerns interchain affairs. F. 1 Brahmic minute, concerns the planetary centers and therefore egoic groups. G. 1 Brahmic moment, concerns an egoic group and its relation to the whole. These are the greater periods of time, and when their significance is comprehended, much that is now obscure will be revealed. As yet, it is only to initiates that the true figures are given. The figures in the secret doctrine, such as the 100 years of Brahma, strike the general average, but it must be ever remembered that in considering the figures where a scheme, for instance, is concerned, much latitude has to be allowed for individual planetary karma and idiosyncrasy. Page 793. The following points are worthy of consideration when upon this subject and deal with some interesting factors. All the planetary rishis are not equally long-lived in the occult sense of the term, and the seven planetary logoi of the seven sacred planets are at different stages of evolution. Their vibratory response, therefore, differs, producing varying effects in time. The three major planetary schemes, Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn, have not as yet received their fullest stimulation, and will not do so until the energy of the sacred seven has been transferred to them. Figures, therefore, as regards their duration and persistence, are not in order. The figures for the planets concerned with the inner round differ as to length of time, but not as to space location, from those of other planets. The true figures in connection with any planetary scheme and its occult activity are not ascertainable by the man who cannot be trusted with the significance of the other planetary bodies, of great number, within the solar ring pass knot. The entire solar sphere is full of such bodies, characterized by the same features as are the seven and the ten, and each of them in some degree has an effect upon the whole. Figures, therefore, cannot be considered as final until the effect of the lesser planetary bodies upon their immediate neighbors is known, and the extent of their planetary radiation has been gauged. There are more than 115 of such bodies to be reckoned with, and all are at varying stages of vibratory impulse. Page 794. They have definite orbits. They turn upon their axis. They draw their life and substance from the sun. But, owing to their relative insignificance, they have not yet been considered factors of moment. This attitude of mind will change when etheric vision is a fact, and the reality of the existence of an etheric double of all that is in manifestation will be recognized by scientists. This fact will be demonstrated towards the close of the century, and during the early part of the next century, a revolution in astronomical circles will occur, which will result in the study of the etheric planets. As these bodies are organs of energy permeating the dense form, the study of the interaction of solar energy and the occult give and take of planetary bodies will assume a new significance. Certain planetary bodies, both greater and lesser, are absorbers. Others are radiators, while some are in the stage of demonstrating a dual activity and are being transmuted. All these circumstances require to be considered by the initiate who is dealing with cycles. Figures also must be computed when the effect upon the planets of what are called asteroids is known. This is much greater than exoteric science has so far admitted, but the significance of this must eventually be interpreted in terms of energy and on etheric levels. Another factor in computation which must also be considered is the effect of the various moons upon any planetary scheme and the true meaning of the eighth sphere in connection with dense substance. Every moon is occultly a point of corruption, or that which is passing off in noxious gases. The transmutation of the form has been proceeded with, in their case, to a point where all that represents vital energy has left. All solar life has passed off, no remnants of pranic energy remain, and that which is to be seen is simply the decay of the physical body, a decay which is proceeding on etheric levels as well as on physical. Page 795. The decay of a moon has as great an evil effect upon all that contacts it as a decaying body on Earth has upon its surroundings. It is occultly offensive. This will be more truly apprehended when the etheric double of our moon is studied. As the moon becomes small through the process of disintegration, its effect upon the earth will be correspondingly lessened, and this stage will be paralleled by a consequent greater freedom from evil impulse of the sons of men. Better conditions among the animals will be another result above all else, and the dying out of that which is noxious in the animal kingdom. By the time the seventh round is reached, the evil effect of the then moon, which will have to all intents and purposes practically disappeared, will be finished. During the fifth round, men will discover how to neutralize any remaining effects through scientific achievement and knowledge of the necessary sounds and mantrams, and thus much evil will be offset. The etheric moon is included in these remarks. The greatest effect of moon conditions is to be seen working out predominantly in the terror and present distress in the animal kingdom. A further factor in cyclic computation lies in the effect of the following stars and constellations upon our system and upon any particular scheme within the system. A. The Great Bear. B. The Little Bear. C. The Pole Star, especially where our planet is concerned. D. The Pleiades. E. The constellation of Capricorn. F. Draco. G. Sirius. H. The various constellations and stars of the zodiac. Page 796. The mystery is hidden in esoteric astrology, and until the subject of energy working through the etheric body, of radioactivity, and of the transmutation of all bodies from a lower state into a higher is better comprehended, the true mystery of the influence of these various bodies upon each other will remain at its present stage, an unrevealed secret. If the radiatory effect of a human being or of a group of human beings upon each other is as yet practically an unknown thing from the standpoint of practical science, so the occult effect of these greater forms upon each other remains unknown. Science recognizes certain effects leading and tending to the general coherence of the universe, just as the general laws of the social order among men are theoretically apprehended. But the true scientific realization of energy radiations emanating from the etheric bodies of all these suns and groups of suns, and from all these planets and groups of planets, is little understood. Their atomic activity is recognized, but that department of their being, which finds its correspondence in animal magnetism, in man, is little realized, while the even more potent factor of the magnetic radiation of their astral bodies is totally uncalculated, nor is it admitted. All these factors have to be allowed for in any consideration of the factor of time and cycles, and the true esoteric knowledge is not to be gained by the study of figures by the lower mind. It comes as the result of the intuition and is stimulated at initiation. All that has here been pointed out can be applied equally, though in a very finite sense, to the ego and its cycles, and also equally, considerations other than the purely personal will enter into its time periods. The influence of other groups and of other units, the effects of radiation from other rays, and of certain types of force as yet unrevealed, and thus outside our consideration, are concerned with its appearing, with the duration of its manifestation, its subsequent obscuration, and final pralayic interval. Page 797. As the ego has time periods corresponding to those of Brahma, and its 100 years and its 777 incarnations have a solar analogy, so equally groups of egos differ as to time, just as the planetary schemes are analogous in evolution, but differ where their periods are concerned. The law of periodicity is one, but as it is based upon initial impulse and upon the rhythmic beat of the central heart or the central sun of any organism, solar system, planetary scheme, planetary chain, egoic group, or individual egoic life, the true nature or family of any such organism must be ascertained before cyclic pronouncements can be made with any hope of approximate accuracy. This was why HPB sought to emphasize the need of studying the astral family and occult heredity of any person, for in the astral is to be found the clue to the egoic family or group. With this clue, the student can then ascertain the characteristics of his group on egoic levels, its place among other egoic groups, and eventually his ray or group center. As time elapses, the true study of heredity and esoteric transmission will open up, and the whole fabric of thought built up around such modern expressions as A. consanguinity or blood ties, B. physical heredity, C. atavism, D. intermarriage, E. family relationships, F. the family unit, G. soulmates, H. divorce, and many other terms, will be shifted to higher planes and will be recognized and used in connection with soul relationships. They are as yet but a faint realization on the physical plane of certain inner relations which are seeking outer response. Page 798. When all aggregates of ideas are interpreted in terms of force and energy, in terms of attraction and repulsion, or the vibratory response of units to each other and of aggregates of units to other groups, we shall have the clearing up of many problems and a simplification of life. Men will be true to their group affiliations, and the present misgrouping and mismating will gradually, through knowledge, die out. We can now take up the consideration of karma in its relation to the act of reincarnation. As we are well aware, the law of karma is the most stupendous law of the system, and one which it is impossible for the average man in any way to comprehend, for if traced back along its central root and its many ramifications, one eventually reaches the position where causes antedating the solar system have to be dealt with, and this point of view can only be usefully grasped by a high initiate. This great law really concerns or is based on causes which are inherent in the constitution of matter itself, and on the interaction between atomic units, whether we use this expression in connection with an atom of substance, a human being, a planetary atom, or a solar atom. We might express it also in saying that the will aspect or initiatory impulse is primarily that which produces cause, which is cause itself. It should be remembered ever that cause involves the idea of duality, i.e., that which initiates and that which is produced simultaneously by the initiation. The two ideas are inseparable, yet nevertheless the second idea in its most abstract connotation must not be considered literally as an effect. True effect involves a third idea. Some appreciation of the problem may be gleaned by consideration of phenomena whichever involves this dual initiatory cause and its objective effect. Page 799. A. Spirit matter in dual activity produces the objective universe. B. Electric fire and fire by friction, when brought into contact, produce solar fire. It flashes forth from darkness, yet a darkness which is potent with energy. C. Will desire is the cause of incarnation. the will to be reacting on substance, whose main quality is desire or responsiveness to sensation, produces the forms through which the central life or existence seeks expression. D. Ideas and thought matter together produce thought forms. If the student considers these points, it will become apparent that it is not possible for him to do more than study the effects produced by the juxtaposition of the pairs of opposites. He cannot dissociate them in his mind and deal with spirit per se or with matter per se, any more than the atom of substance in man's physical body can dissociate itself from that body and consider itself independently of form influences. All atoms are always controlled by the following factors, just as a man in the body of a planetary logos and a planetary logos within his greater whole will be equally controlled by the same basic principles. The influence and quality of the organ or unit in which it finds a place. In the human atom, this means his group force or influence. The life influence of the entire physical body of which any atom is a corporate part. In the human atom, this means the influence of the particular center in which his egoic group has a place and the type of energy which it embodies. The life influence of the desire or astral body, the strongest karmic agency which has to be considered. Page 800. In the human atom, this involves the influence of the three centers in the body of the heavenly man which form any specific force triangle and which have much to do with the liberation of groups of egos from manifestation. The life influences of the mental body or of that principle which imposes upon the atom the quality of activity in form which governs the reaction of the atom to its group life and which enables the quality of its life to be demonstrated. In the human atom, this concerns those causes which are incident to a man's ray, or literally, the influence of the life of the planetary logos as he functions as a self-conscious life on his own plane, as he works out his own plans, and consequently sweeps into activity the cells of his body as mere incidents where he, the basic central life, is concerned. The life impulse of the thinker, functioning in the causal body, who, though a great abstraction or the absolute where the cellular life is concerned, is nevertheless a potent and active factor in the imposition of rhythm upon the atom in every body. In the human atom, this brings in the influence of the life of the solar logos, for that life imposes rhythm upon every human atom in the system, and does so through the agency of substance and its inherent quality, sensation. In these thoughts, we have but approached the study of karma from a fresh angle and endeavored to show the sources of the influences which play upon all atomic lives. The atom, likewise, is controlled by its own esse, or by its own inherent nature, or vibration, which was the quality of matter itself before it was aggregated into a solar system, and which was the vibratory activity produced through the rhythmic life of an earlier solar system. Page 801. This is equally true of all atoms of all grades, but only in connection with the atom of substance, and to some degree with the human atom, is it in any way possible to ascertain the predisposing causes. Until the mystery of the Great Bear is revealed and is known as it is, and until the influence of the Pleiades is comprehended, and the true significance of the cosmic triangle formed by A. the seven rishis of the Great Bear, B. the seven planetary logoi of our solar system, C. the seven Pleiades or sisters, is revealed, the karma of the seven sacred planets will remain unknown. All that we can see is its working out in the solar system. The intricacy of the whole subject will be apparent when it is borne in mind that not only do these three groups form a cosmic triangle, but that within that triangle many lesser triangles have to be studied. Any one of the seven rishis with one of our planetary logoi and one of the seven sisters may form a subsidiary triangle, and all must thus be studied. In connection with the karma of the solar logos, the subject is even more abstract and incomprehensible. It lies hidden not in the seven constellations, but in the three constellations which concern the three bodies of his personality, and which in themselves are but manifestations of a central life past our concept and our recognition. It concerns the manifestation in time and space of the one about whom naught may be said, and whose relationship to the solar logos finds a faint analogy in that of the planetary logos to man, the human unit. It profits not to extend the thought any further. We are but seeking to emphasize the fact of the interdependence of all atoms and forms, to lay stress upon the reality of the variety of influences which play upon all that is manifesting, and to call attention to the fact of the karma of the past eons, kalpas, and that unknowable period in which the initiatory impulses were set up, which are still persisting, and which God, man, and atoms are still working out and off. Page 802. Influences or vibrations calling forth response play upon every form and atom in the solar system, and all that can be predicated of them is that they tend to develop consciousness of some kind, impose certain rhythms according to that conscious response, and produce aggregations or group activity. The liberation from karma about which would-be occult students so glibly talk is, after all, but the freeing of the atom from its own personal problem, the problem of response to unitary sensation, and its conscious acquiescence in group response and work. It marks the dissociation of the human atom from the rhythm imposed upon him by the lower influences, which find their channel of approach through his vehicles, or lunar bodies, and his consequent willing recognition of the will impulse of his greater whole, or the life of the egoic group, a center in the planetary body. It involves atomic control, but involves also conscious subjection to the karma of the heavenly man. Man is no longer the slave of the rhythm of matter, per se, but controls it in the three worlds of his endeavor. He is still, nevertheless, controlled by the group karma of the planetary center, by its influence, life, and vibratory impulse. The same can be predicated of a heavenly man and of a solar logos. We might, in closing, express the same thought in terms of fire, remembering that words only limit and confine the thought, and that the main reason for this mode of approach is to bring pictorially before man some aspects of the central idea. Electric fire, or will impulse, in conjunction with fire by friction, produces light, or solar fire. Electric fire is force or energy of some kind, and hence in itself is fundamentally an emanation. Page 803. Fire by friction is substance with the quality of heat as its predominant characteristic. It is latent heat or sensation. Both these ideas, therefore, convey the idea of duality. An emanation must have its originating source, and heat is but the result of friction, and is necessarily dual. Both these concepts involve facts long antedating the solar system and hidden in the universal mind. All that we can scientifically ascertain is the nature of that which is produced by their approximation, and this is solar fire or light. These thoughts may make clear somewhat the significance of the number 5, esoterically considered. Electric fire, being an emanation, is essentially dual in concept, and so is fire by friction. They together produce solar fire, and thus the esoteric fifth. It will be apparent that when a man speaks of karma, he is dealing with something much wider than the interplay of effect and cause within the sphere of his own individual routine. He is, in all things, governed by causes originating in the aggregate of lives which form his egoic group, by the aggregate of groups which form one petal in a center of a heavenly man, by force or purpose circulating through a triangle of centers, and by the life energy or purposeful will of the planetary logos himself. Finally, he is governed by the will of the solar logos as it demonstrates itself in initiatory activity. Beyond this, we need hardly go, but enough has been said to show that every human atom is under the dominance of forces outside his own consciousness, which sweep him and others into situations from which there is no escape, and which are to him incomprehensible. This has been at no time better illustrated than in the event of the late war and in present war conditions. These are effects of causes having their origin in the renewed activity of a certain planetary triangle and in the vibration set up by our planetary locus on the moon chain, and which had a faint beginning in an earlier solar system. Page 804. This vibration impinged primarily upon certain atoms and groups of atoms in his body, principally those composing the human and animal kingdoms, and produced the apparently dire results which we have been witnessing. So great was the effect of his energy that the vegetable kingdom was somewhat, though not so much, affected, and the mineral kingdom felt the effect in a startling manner, far more than the vegetable kingdom and almost as much as the animal. Here we have a setting of circumstances outside human and even group control, which illustrates the helplessness of man in certain conditions, and which serves to bring in factors apparently apart from the individual vibration of the fourth kingdom. Nevertheless, within limits, man definitely does control his destiny, and can initiate action which produces effects recognizable by him as being dependent upon his activity along a particular line. He does, on a miniature scale, repeat the procedure of the logos on a vaster scale, and thus is the arbiter of his own destiny, the producer of his own drama, the architect of his own home, and the initiator of his own affairs. Though he may be the meeting place of forces outside his control, yet he can utilize force, circumstance, and environment, and can turn them, if he so will, to his own ends. The working out of karmic law in a man's own life might be broadly divided into three divisions, in each of which a different type of energy is demonstrating, producing effects upon the lower and higher bodies of a definite nature. In the very early stages, when man is scarcely more than an animal, the vibratory activity of the atoms of his three sheaths, and of the lowest primarily, governs all actions on his part. He is the victim of the vibratory activity of physical substance, and much that occurs is the consequence of the interaction between the ego and its lowest manifestation, the physical sheath. Page 805. The center of attention is the physical body, and only faintly are the two subtler bodies responding. The egoic impulse is slow and heavy, and the vibration is directed to producing response between the egoic consciousness and the atoms of the physical body. The physical permanent atom is more active than the other two. It is the aspect of fire by friction, which is fanned by the egoic breath, with a triple object in view: A, coordinating the physical body; B, increasing the resistance of the etheric web, a work which was only carried to the desired point by the middle of the Atlantean root race; C, bringing certain of the lower centers to the necessary stage of expression. The heat of the atoms in the bodies is increased during this stage, and their atomic life coordinated, while the triangle between the three permanent atoms becomes a demonstrable fact and not a faint indication. During the second stage, the law of karma, or karmic influence, through the inevitable reflex action produced by the increased activity of the sheaths, turns its attention to the working out of desire and its transmutation into the higher aspiration. Through experience, the pairs of opposites are recognized by the thinker, and he becomes no longer the victim of the vibratory impulses of his physical body. The factor of intelligent choice becomes apparent. The man begins to discriminate between the pairs of opposites, choosing ever in the early stages that which appeals most to his lower nature and that which he believes will bring him pleasure. The center of the attention of the ego is the astral body, and it becomes so closely coordinated with the physical body that the two form one united expression of desire. The mental body remains comparatively inactive at this stage. Page 806. The love nature of the ego is in process of being developed, and this stage is the longest of the three. It deals with the evolution of the petals of the egoic lotus and with the blending of solar fire and of fire by friction. Reflex action between the lower and the higher during this middle period produces three effects which will be seen, if carefully studied, to convey much information anent the working out of the law of karma. These three effects are, 1. The development of the astral permanent atom with a concurrent stimulation of the physical permanent atom, and thus the growth and evolution of the two sheaths concerned. 2. The coordination of the threefold man through the innate vitality of the astral body and its effect upon the mental and the physical. This is the karma manasic period, and as this body is the only complete sphere in the threefold lower man, it is the most powerful body inherently, for it embodies, as does the solar system, the heart aspect, or embryonic love nature, which it is the object of macrocosmic and microcosmic evolution to develop. 3. Finally, the unfoldment of the 9 egoic petals in 3 stages. In the working out of the law, we must therefore note that man is first of all the victim of the impulses of dense substance, or of the Brahma aspect, and thus repeats rapidly the evolutionary process of the preceding solar system. In the second stage, he is the victim of desire, or of his own love nature. In the third stage, the law of karma works through a man's mental nature and awakens in him recognition of the law and an intellectual apprehension of cause and of effect. This is the shortest stage, but is also the most powerful. It concerns the evolution of the three inner petals shielding the jewel and their ability to disclose at the right moment that which lies hidden. Page 807. It covers the period of the evolution of advanced man and of the man upon the path. In connection with the human family, it covers the first half of the next round prior to the great separation. Electric fire is beginning to make its radiations felt, and the will or purpose of the ego is now consciously realized upon the physical plane. The three permanent atoms form a triangle of light, and the petals of the lotus are rapidly unfolding. When the will and purpose of the ego are realized by man in his waking consciousness in the physical brain, then the law of karma in the three worlds is becoming neutralized, and man is on the verge of liberation. He has exhausted the initial vibration, and there is no response within his sheaths to the threefold vibration of the three worlds. He stands freed from the three kingdoms and the fourth. D. On the building of the causal body. We enter now upon one of the most vitally practical parts of our treatise on fire, that which deals with the building of the causal body, or body of manifestation of the ego. It concerns the work of the solar angels, or the true self-conscious identity, man. If the student has in any way apprehended the general trend of the earlier pages, he will now be in a condition of mind which will enable him to interpret all that is said in terms of energy, or of that vibratory activity which is produced by the three major phases of electrical phenomena, the union which produces that divine manifestation called man, or, when the aggregated units are considered, the human kingdom. A. Introductory Remarks. We have studied somewhat the constitution of the triangles, or petries, who, through self-sacrifice, endow man with self-consciousness, building his egoic vehicle out of their own essence. We have touched briefly upon the lunar petries, who endow man with his lower sheaths and principles, through which the energy of the solar lords may make itself felt, and we shall now proceed to study three things. Page 808. First, the effect of the higher energy upon the lower bodies, as it gradually makes itself felt during the evolutionary process, and thus simultaneously redeems man in an occult sense, and also elevates the lunar petries. Second, the effect of this energy on the mental plane in the development and unfoldment of the egoic lotus. Third, the awakening to activity of the central life within the lotus. This activity demonstrates in a twofold manner. A, as the realization by the man on the physical plane within the physical brain of his divine nature, resulting in a consequent demonstration of divinity upon earth prior to liberation. B, as the conscious activity of the individual ego on the mental plane in cooperation with its group or groups. In the first case, we have the effect of the egoic life upon its sheaths and their subsequent control, and in the second case, we have the self-awakening of the egoic unit on its own plane. In the third case, we have a group realization, or the entrance by the unit into the consciousness of the heavenly man. It will not be possible to do more than indicate broad general lines of development. The subject of egoic evolution cannot be fully comprehended until after initiation, but it is felt now by the teachers on the inner side that the main principles had better be given out at once in view of the unexpected development since the opening of this century of two great sciences, the science of electricity. The investigations of scientists have been greatly stimulated by the discovery of radium, which is an electrical phenomenon of a certain kind, and by the knowledge this discovery brought of the radioactive substances. The development of the many methods of utilizing electricity has also greatly aided. Page 809. This science has brought man to the threshold of a discovery which will revolutionize world thought on these matters, and which will eventually solve a great part of the economic problem, thus leaving many more persons free for mental growth and work. This expansion of knowledge can be looked for before 150 years have transpired. The science of psychology. The psychoanalytic theories, which, though indicative of progress, are yet tending in a wrong direction, may prove disastrous to the higher development of the race unless the true nature of the psyche is elucidated. When the public mind has apprehended, even cursorily, the following briefly stated facts, the trend of popular education, the object of political science, and the goal of economic and social endeavor will take a new and a better direction. These facts might be summed up in the following postulates. Roman numeral 1. Man is, in essence, divine. Footnote. Each human being is an incarnation of God. Quote, I have said ye are gods. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Close quote. No being can become a god without passing through the human cycles. Man, therefore, is like God in that he represents the pairs of opposites, good and evil, light and darkness, male and female, etc. He is a duality. He represents also God in that he is a triplicity, being three in one and one in three. By man, the divine monad is meant. From Secret Doctrine, Volumes 2 and 3. Return to text. This has ever been enunciated through the ages, but remains as yet a beautiful theory or belief, and not a proven scientific fact, nor is it universally held. Page 810. Roman numeral 2. Man is, in fact, a fragment of the universal mind or world soul, and as a fragment is thus partaker of the instincts and quality of that soul as it manifests through the human family. Therefore, unity is only possible upon the plane of mind. This, if true, must lead to the tendency to develop within the physical brain a conscious realization of group affiliations on the mental plane, a conscious recognition of group relationships, ideals, and goal, and a conscious manifestation of that continuity of consciousness which is the object of evolution at this time. It will further produce the transference of the race consciousness from the physical plane to the mental, and a consequent solving through knowledge, love, and sacrifice of all present problems. This will bring about emancipation from the present physical plane disorder. It must lead to the education of the public as to the nature of man and the development of the powers latent within him, powers which will set him free from his present limitations, and which will produce in the human family a collective repudiation of the present conditions. When men everywhere recognize themselves and each other as divine, self-conscious units functioning primarily in the causal body, but utilizing the three lower vehicles only as a means of contact with the three lower planes, we will have government, politics, economics, and the social order readjusted upon sound, sane, and divine lines. End of side one, cassette number 19, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 810. Continued on side two. Side two, cassette number 19, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section two, division D, Thought and Fire Elementals, on page 810. Roman numeral 3. Man, in his lower nature and in his three vehicles, is an aggregate of lesser lives dependent upon him for their group nature, for their type of activity and collective response, and who, through the energy or activity of the solar lord, will themselves later be raised and developed to the human stage. Page 811. When these three facts are understood, then and only then will we have a right and just comprehension of the nature of man. Again, this realization will bring about three changes in the thought of the age. 1. A readjustment of the medical knowledge of man, resulting in a truer understanding of the physical body, of its treatment, and of its protection, and thus producing a juster apprehension of the laws of health. The aim of the physician will then be to find out what it is in a man's life which is preventing egoic energy from flooding every part of his being, to find out what lines of thought are being indulged in which are causing that inertia of the will aspect which is so conducive to wrongdoing, to ascertain what it is in the emotional body which is affecting the nervous system and thus obstructing the flow of energy from the love petals of the egoic lotus via the astral permanent atom to the astral body and from thence to the nervous system, to discover what is the hindrance in the etheric body which is preventing the right flow of prana or of solar vitality to every part of the body. It is essential that in days to come, medical men should realize that disease in the physical body is incidental to wrong internal conditions. This is already being somewhat considered, but the whole question will remain but a beautiful theory, even though an incontrovertible one in view of the achievements of mental scientists and of the various faith healers, until the true nature of the ego, its constitution, its powers, and its field of influence are duly apprehended. This revelation will come when medical men accept this teaching as a working hypothesis and then begin to note, for instance, the powers of endurance shown by the great souls of the earth and their capacity to work at high pressure and to remain practically immune from disease until, at the close of a long life of usefulness, the ego deliberately chooses to die out of physical existence. Page 812. It will come when the medical profession concentrates upon preventative action, substituting sunshine, a vegetarian diet, and the application of the laws of magnetic vibration and vitality for the present regimen of drugs and surgical operations. Then will come the time when finer and better human beings will manifest on earth. When also physicians learn the nature of the etheric body and the work of the spleen as a focal point for pranic emanations, then sound principles and methods will be introduced, which will do away with such diseases as tuberculosis, debility, malnutrition, and the diseases of the blood and of the kidneys. When doctors comprehend the effect of the emotions upon the nervous system, they will turn their attention to the amelioration of environmental conditions, and will study the effects of the emotional currents upon the fluids of the body, and primarily upon the great nerve centers and the spinal column. When the connection between the dense physical and the subtler bodies is a fact established in medical circles, then will the right treatment of lunacy, of obsessions, and of wrong mental conditions be better comprehended, and the results more successful. Finally, when the nature of egoic force or of energy is studied and the function of the physical brain as the transmitter of egoic intent is better comprehended, then the coordination of man's entire being will be studied and illness, debility, and disease will be traced to their just cause and will be treated through the cause and not just through the effect. 2. The entire social world of thought will apply itself to the understanding of the emotional nature of humanity, to the group relationships involved, and to the interaction between individuals and other individuals, between groups and other groups. Page 813. These relationships will be interpreted wisely and broadly, and a man will be taught his responsibility to the lesser lives which he ensouls. This will produce a just direction of individual force and its utilization for the stabilization, the development, and the refining of the substance of the different vehicles. Men will also be taught their definite responsibility under law to their own individual families. This will bring about the protection of the family unit and its scientific development. It will cause the elimination of marital troubles and the abolition of abuses of different kinds, so prevalent now in many family circles. Responsibility to the community in which a man is placed will likewise be emphasized. Men will be taught the true esoteric meaning of citizenship, a citizenship based upon egoic group relations, the law of rebirth, and the real meaning of the law of karma. They will be taught national responsibility and the place of the community within the nation, and of the nation within the comity of nations. Men will finally be taught their responsibility to the animal kingdom. This will be brought about in three ways. 1. Man's truer understanding of his own animal nature. 2. A comprehension of the laws of individualization and the effect of the influence of the fourth or human kingdom upon the third or animal kingdom. 3. The work of an avatar of a lesser order who will come in the beginning of the next century to reveal to man his relationship to the third kingdom. His way is being prepared by the many who in these days are developing public interest through the various societies for the benefit and protection of animals, and through the many stories to be found in books and current periodicals. Page 814. We are told by HPB that the sense of responsibility is one of the first indications of egoic control, and as more and more of the human family come under egoic influence, conditions will be bettered slowly and steadily in every department of life. 3. In the educational world, an apprehension of man's true nature will bring about a fundamental change in the methods of teaching. The emphasis will be laid upon teaching people the fact of the ego on its own plane, the nature of the lunar bodies, and the methods of aligning the lower bodies so that the ego can communicate direct with the physical brain, and thus control the lower nature and work out its purposes. Men will be taught how, through concentration and meditation, they can ascertain knowledge for themselves, can develop the intuition, and thus draw upon the resources of the ego. Then will men be taught to think, to assume control of the mental body, and thus develop their latent powers. In the above few remarks are indicated very briefly and inadequately the results which may be looked for from a true understanding of the essential nature of man. It has been written, in view of the necessity these days, of a statement as to the real or inner man, and as to the laws of the kingdom of God. That inner man has ever been known to be there, and the kingdom within has ever been proclaimed, until HPB came and gave out the same old truths from a new angle, giving an occult turn to mystic thought. Now comes the opportunity for man to realize the laws of his own being, and in that realization, those who stand on the verge of intuitional apprehension of knowledge, and those of scientific bent who are willing to accept these truths as a working hypothesis to be utilized as a basis for experiment until proven false, will have the chance to solve the world problems from within. Page 815. Thus will the Christ principle be manifested upon earth, and thus will the Christ nature be demonstrated to be a fact in nature itself. The value to the public thought of a true explanation of the evolution of the ego and its gradually developing power on earth is very great. There are two ways in which man may view this matter, both of which provide food for meditation and well merit serious consideration. Both of them have been somewhat dealt with by thinkers of many schools of thought, and hence do not require any lengthy elucidation. The problem may be regarded as one calling for the elevation of the inner consciousness of the human unit functioning in the physical body to the higher levels of the mental plane, and therefore involves a raising or expansion of his waking consciousness till it becomes aware of this higher life. This is the way of mystical approach, and many instances of its successful accomplishment can be studied in the lives of the mystics of all ages. By sheer devotion and strenuous application, and by a severe disciplining of the physical body, the mystic effects his entrance into the heart center of his little system, and his life becomes irradiated by the beams of his own central sun, the egoic light divine. The problem may again be regarded as one in which the effort of the man is concentrated in an attempt to bring down into the physical brain consciousness, and thus onto the physical plane, the life and power and energy of the inner center, the ego. This involves necessarily a scientific apprehension of the laws of being and a recognition of the dual nature of the self. It involves a devotion to the work of bringing about a domination of the lunar lords through the radiant control of the solar lord. This is the occult method. It is the method of studying the constitution of those entities who form the fourfold lower nature, the personality, and a close investigation of those divine essences who build the body of the ego or higher self. Page 816. To this must be added a severe application of the laws of nature to the individual problem. What is proposed in this treatise is to follow the latter method, as the aim is to make clear the rationale of the process. B. The evolution of the petals. The building of the causal body is the result of dual energy, that of the lower self with its reflex action upon the higher unit, and that of the natural energy of the self as it makes its direct impress upon the substance of the egoic lotus. It should here be remembered that, subtle though the material may be, the egoic lotus is as truly substance of a particular vibration as is the physical body, only, owing to its rarity, physical plane man regards it practically as non-substantial. It is, in fact, as earlier pointed out, the result of the dual vibration of the fivefold Dhyanis, or gods, in conjunction with the fourfold Quaternary, or the Petris, of the lower vehicles. Through a conscious effort of the planetary Logoi, these Dhyanis and lower Petris are brought into a close relationship. This produces, upon the third subplane of the mental plane, a ninefold vibration or whirl in the gaseous matter of the plane, for this is the cosmic gaseous subplane, which, after a certain period of persistence, assumes the form of a nine-petaled lotus. This lotus is folded over in bud shape upon the central point or heart of the lotus. That spark of electric fire, which by its action or innate vitality working upon the substance of the lotus, attracts to itself sufficient of that substance to form three inner petals, which closely shield the central spark. These are nevertheless of the same substance or essence as the nine other petals. The student must be careful not to materialize his concept too much, and it might therefore be wise for him to view this manifestation from other angles and employ other terms to express the same idea. Page 817 is a chart entitled The Egoic Lotus and the Centers. Page 818. For instance, the body of the ego may be viewed in the following four ways. As nine vibrations emanating from a central point, which in its pulsation or radiations produces three major vibrations of great force pursuing a circular activity around the center. The nine vibrations pursue a diagonal path until they reach the periphery of the egoic sphere of influence. At this point they swing around, thus forming the well-known spheroidal form of the causal body. as 9 petals of a lotus, radiating from a common center and hiding within themselves 3 central petals which conceal a central point of fire. The radiations from the tip of each petal are those which cause the illusion of a spheroidal shape, as 9 spokes of a wheel, converging towards a central hub, which is in itself threefold, and which hides the central energy or dynamo of force, the generator of all the activity. As 9 types of energy, which produce definite emanations from a threefold unit, again itself an outgoing from a central unit of force. For all purposes, the second definition will be the one of the most use to us in our attempt to picture the constitution, nature, method of development, and true evolution of the ego functioning in the causal body. In terms of fire, the same truths may be expressed as follows, and this should be carefully pondered upon by the student of this treatise. 1. Electric fire, spirit, will aspect, jewel in the lotus. 2. Solar fire, consciousness, love aspect, the 9 petals. 3. Fire by friction, substance, activity aspect, the 3 permanent atoms. Page 819. In electric fire, the monad is represented in its threefold nature and stands for that type of manifestation which will be brought to its highest stage of development in the next solar system. In solar fire, these solar petries in their 9-fold formation represent and make possible the unfolding of the consciousness of the monad through the medium of the ego in the 3 worlds of human evolution. In fire by friction, the lunar petries are represented and constitute the lower self, the personality, or those vehicles by means of which the ego in turn is to acquire experience on the lower planes. Yet these 3 are one in manifestation within the egoic auric egg, and the interchange of energy and vitality proceeds steadily. Spirit uses the soul, or the ego, as a vehicle of enlightenment, and the ego uses the lower quaternary as its medium of expression. The evolution of spirit can really therefore be divided into 3 stages. First, the stage in which the lunar petries function primarily and prepare the lower sheaths for occupancy. The lower vibrations control, and fire by friction is that which warms and nourishes to the practical exclusion of all else. Second, the stage in which the solar petries gradually become predominant, in which the egoic consciousness is developed. The sheaths are occupied by the thinker, are gradually controlled by him, are bent to his will and purpose, and are eventually discarded. The middle vibrations control, and solar fire irradiates. It lights up in due course of evolution the lower sheaths. It gradually increases its heat and eventually aids in the destruction of the forms. Third, the stage in which electric fire is revealed and through the intensity of its blaze puts out the other fires. The lunar petries have fulfilled their work. The solar petries have developed the self-conscious unit, man. And the monad, having utilized both, discards both and withdraws into itself, this time plus the gain of material existence and plus developed love wisdom. Page 820. In terms of the old commentary, the truth is thus stated, quote, "The Lord of Life himself sits at the heart and watches. The lords of solar fire pursue their task and sacrifice themselves to the lunar lords of all the lower planes. They die but resurrect. They pass without and come again. Yet the Lord of Life sits still. The lunar lords begin to die. Their power begins to wane with each successive cycle. The solar lords shine forth in triumph and consign the fourfold ones to fire, the fire which burns and dissipates the form. Many times the work repeats itself. The cycles wax and wane until the day triumphant when the solar lord acclaims himself and knows himself the ruler. The Lord of Life then turns himself and arises in his might. He consumes the solar lords and they perish as did the lunar lords. He speaks a word. The fire descends. The blaze bursts forth. Gone is the lower fire through the flame of solar burning. Gone is the middle fire through the intensity of fire from heaven. Naught remaineth save a threefold flame of violet, indigo, and yellow. That disappears. Then darkness reigns. Yet the Lord of life persists, though invisible. Close quote. As we know, the egoic lotus consists of three circles, each circle being composed of three petals and all shielding the inner bud where hides the jewel. It is with the evolution of these petals that we are concerned, with their formation, their vitalization, their nurturing, and eventual unfoldment. It will be useful for the student at this stage to remember that we are primarily dealing with the development of the second aspect in man, the love-wisdom aspect, and are only secondarily considering the third aspect, that of activity, which finds its energizing centers in the three permanent atoms. Page 821. These three circles of petals are called, in the esoteric terminology, 1. The outer knowledge triad, or the lords of active wisdom, 2. The middle love triad, or the lords of active love, 3. The inner sacrificial triad, or the lords of active will. The first is the summation of experience and developed consciousness. The second is the application of that knowledge in love and service, or the expression of the self and the not-self in reciprocal vibration. And the third is the full expression of knowledge and love turned toward the conscious sacrifice of all to the furthering of the plans of the planetary logos and to the carrying out of his purposes in group work. Each of these three groups of petals come under the definite guidance of three groups of Agni Shvatas who form them out of their own substance and who, in essence, are the threefold ego during its manifestation. Through them flows the force and coherent energy of those mysterious entities whom, when considering the human family as a whole, we call A. the Buddhas or Lords of Activity, B. the Buddhas or Lords of Compassionate Love, C. the Buddhas of Sacrifice, of whom the Lord of the World is, to man, the best known exponent. Through these three groups flows that threefold energy which, on the mental plane, finds its medium of expression in connection with the human kingdom in the three groups of Agni Shvatas, or solar petries, above referred to. These groups form the substance of the three circles of petals, and each group has also a special influence upon the particular petal belonging to their especial scale of vibrations. For the sake of clarity, we might tabulate the various petals so that the student may get a clearer comprehension of the conformation of his own causal vehicle and some idea of the various triangular relationships. Page 822. Roman numeral 1, the outer knowledge triad. A. Petal 1, knowledge on the physical plane, colors orange, green, and violet. B. Petal 2, love on the physical plane, colors orange, rose, and blue. C. Petal 3, sacrifice on the physical plane, colors orange, yellow, and indigo. These three petals are organized and vitalized in the Hall of Ignorance, but remain unopened and only begin to unfold as the second circle is organized. Roman numeral 2, the middle love triad. A. Petal 1, higher knowledge applied through love on the physical and astral planes, colors, rose, and the original three. B. Petal 2, higher intelligent love on the physical and astral planes, colors, rose, and the corresponding three. C. Petal 3, loving intelligent sacrifice on the physical and astral planes, colors, rose, and the same three. These three petals preserve the fundamental orange but add the color rose in every petal so that four colors are now seen. These petals are organized and vitalized in the Hall of Learning but remain unopened. The outer tier of petals simultaneously unfolds till it is open entirely, revealing the second circle. The third remains shielded. Roman numeral 3, the inner sacrificial triad. A. Petal 1, the will to sacrifice through knowledge on the mental plane and thus intelligently to dominate the entire threefold lower man. Colors, yellow, and the four colors, orange, green, violet, and rose. B. Petal 2. The will to sacrifice through love on the mental plane and thus to serve. Colors, yellow, and the four colors, orange, violet, rose, and blue. C. Petal 3. The utter sacrifice of all forever. Colors, yellow, orange, rose, blue, and indigo. Page 823 is a chart entitled The Egoic Lotus. Page 824. In the mystery of these subsidiary colors and of the gradual shining forth within the lotus of five colors in any one petal at one time, is veiled the mystery of the five kumaras. The student who seeks the significance of the preponderance of orange and of rose is approaching the secret of the two kumaras who fell. More it is not possible to say, but the colors hold the esoteric key to this great occurrence. This inner circle of petals is organized and vitalized in the Hall of Wisdom, and simultaneously the middle circle unfolds so that two rows of petals are duly opened and only the third remains to be unclosed. This final opening is effected during the period of treading the stages of the path of initiation, and in this round it is hastened by the rites of initiation and by the strenuous and abnormal efforts of the man himself, aided by the electrical work of the initiator wielding the rod of power. Though we have thus divided off the different stages of development, we have but dealt with the general average, gathering our facts from the records to which we have access and which are grouped in relation to this subject into the three groups, related to A, the monads of power, B, the monads of love, C, the monads of activity. The student must remember that according to these groupings, so will be the tendency of the petals to unfold. For instance, in the case of the majority of men, being monads of love, the love petals are more easily awakened, for love is the nature of the present manifestation, and the line of love in some direction, low, high, or spiritual, is the line of least resistance for the many. Page 825. Yet the monads of activity are numerous and influential, and the first petal in each ring is for them the easiest to unfold. For both groups, the knowledge petal is the first opened, owing to the inherent nature of the Manasa Devas themselves and their basic vibration. For all, sacrifice is the hardest, for it involves ever the two factors of intelligence and love, intelligent knowledge and a love that goes out to that which must be saved through sacrifice. In these three circles of petals lies concealed another clue to the mystery of the 777 incarnations. The figures do not convey an exact number of years, but are figurative and symbolical. They are intended to convey the thought of three cycles of varying duration, based upon the septenary nature of the manifesting monad. First, the 700 incarnations. These concern the unfoldment of the outer circle. This is the longest period. The initial vibration is slow and heavy, and millennia of lives have to elapse before the interchange of energy between the ego and its reflection, the personal self, the lower threefold man, is such that the consciousness of the man occultly awakens in the hall of learning. For advanced man at this time, these incarnations took place upon the moon chain, and in some cases upon certain planets connected with the inner round. This is the circumstance which necessitated his coming in during the Atlantean root race. Men of this type refused to incarnate earlier, as the bodies were too coarse. This was the cyclic reflection on the lowest plane of the refusal of the monads to incarnate at the dawn of manvantaric opportunity. No real sin was committed. It was their privilege to discriminate, and this refusal has its bearing upon conditions upon earth, being the basis of the great class distinctions, which in every land have been so fruitful of trouble, and the esoteric foundation of the caste system so abused now in India. Page 826. The problem of labor and capital has its roots in the subjective distinction between equipped and unequipped egos, between those units of the human family on earth who have passed out of the hall of ignorance, and those who are yet groping in its dark and gloomy corridors, between those egos who are only bud egos and those who have organized the outer circle of petals and whose petals are ready to open up. The idea of a septennate of centuries must be carefully pondered upon, and, as ever in all occult matters, the idea of triplicity must be also borne in mind with the synthesizing period, which is a summation of the triple coordination. Three periods of three tens, 90 years. One synthesizing period, 10 years, equals 100 years. This 7 times repeated equals 700 years. Each cycle, again figurative cycles, leaves one of the petals more vitalized and has a definite effect on each. Second, the 70 incarnations. These concern the unfoldment of the middle circle, which much may be learned from a consideration of the occult significance involved in the sending out of their followers by any initiate, such as the Christ, in groups of 70, going 2 and 2. These 70 incarnations primarily affect the development of love in the personal life, the evolution of the astral nature based on the recognition of the pairs of opposites, and their equilibrizing in love and service. This cycle covers the period passed by the man in the hall of learning and has its correspondence in the Atlantean root race and its conflict between the lords of the dark face and the brotherhood of light. Page 827. Within the life of each individual, a similar conflict wages during this period, ending with the final Kurukshetra, or battleground, which earns for the man the right to tread the probationary path, and eventually the privilege to stand before the portal of initiation. Again, the numerical significance of the numbers must be studied. This time they are hid in the number 10, or three cycles of three lesser periods, each making 9, and one synthesizing period, leading up to the consummation of one period within the greater cycle. This is signified by the 10 of relative perfection. Footnote. The number 10. 1. The 3 enclosed within the circle are the sacred 4. A. Adi Sanat, the number, unity. The Logos, or the One in physical incarnation. God and man function as unities on their respective physical planes. B. The voice of the word, the numbers, for he is 1 and 9. The second aspect, the embodied idea, consciousness. C. The formless square, the matter aspect, substance and form, limitation. Trace these out in connection with A. A solar logos informing a solar system. B. A planetary logos informing a planetary scheme. C. Man informing his bodies of manifestation. 2. The 10 are the Arupa universe. The emphasis here is laid upon the subjective lives or the intelligent consciousness within the forms. These 10 might be called 1. The first logos, Shiva, Father, Will. 2. The second logos, Vishnu, Sun, Love, Wisdom. 3. The third logos, Brahma, Holy Ghost, intelligence overshadowing matter, Mother. 1. The Lord of Cosmic Will, first ray. 2. The Lord of Cosmic Love, second ray. 3. The Lord of Cosmic Intelligence, third ray. 4. The Lord of Cosmic Harmony, fourth ray. 5. The Lord of Cosmic Knowledge, fifth ray. 6. The Lord of Cosmic Devotion, sixth ray. 7. The Lord of Cosmic Ceremonial, 7th ray. They are the subjective consciousness, the cause of manifestation. From The Secret Doctrine, Volumes 1 and 2, return to text. The interplay between karmic impulse and manasic energy has produced a realization within the consciousness of the ego of that which he has learned within the two halls. The outer circle of petals is unfolded and the central ring is ready to open. Page 828. Third, the seven incarnations. These are those passed upon the probationary path. This is an interesting period in which certain things are effected, which might be described in the following terms. The two outer rings of petals are stimulated in a new and special sense through the conscious act of the probationary disciple. Much of the work hitherto has been pursued under the ordinary laws of evolution and has been unconscious. Now all that changes as the mental body becomes active, and two of the will petals are coordinated, and one awakes vitality and unfolds. The fire or energy from these two rings begins to circulate along the atomic triangle, and when this is the case, it marks a very momentous epoch. A dual work has been consummated in the personal lower life and in the egoic. A. The permanent atoms have the four lower spirillae fully active, two groups of two each, and the fifth is in process of arousement into equal activity. The triangle is in circulatory action, but has not yet achieved its full brightness, nor its rotary or fourth dimensional revolution. B. The two circles of petals are awake, one being wide open and the other on the verge of opening. Thus, in the life of the probationer, two aspects of the divine life are making themselves apparent, and though as yet much remains to be done, nevertheless, when the inner circle of petals is awakened through the instrumentality of the curious and abnormal process of initiation, the remaining aspect will be brought into similar prominence and produce the perfected man in the three worlds. Thus is the work of the solar petries consummated. Page 829. The fact of the abnormality of the process of initiation must here be emphasized. Initiation is in the nature of a great experiment which our planetary logos is making during this round. In earlier and perhaps in later rounds, the whole process will follow natural law. In this round and on this chain, our planetary logos on his high level is what is esoterically called sitting for yoga, and is definitely undergoing certain processes of training in order to stimulate his centers. This fact is being taken advantage of by the hierarchy on Earth to produce certain results in the races under their guidance. The whole process is optional, and a man may, if he so choose, follow the normal process and take eons of time to effect what some are choosing to do in a briefer period, through a self-chosen forcing process. At the termination of the 777 incarnations, a man passes through the door of initiation and enters upon a brief synthesizing process, or a final period in which he garners the fruits of the experience in the two first halls and transmutes knowledge into wisdom, transforms the shadow of things seen into the energy of that which is, and achieves the final liberation from all the lower forms which seek to hold him prisoner. This period of initiation itself is divided into seven stages, but only five of these concern the evolution of the ego, just as the five Kumaras concern primarily the evolution of humanity in the system and on this planet. Thus again, we have the four exoteric Kumaras, of whom two fell, and the three esoteric, of whom one gathers the life forces of the four exoteric, making with them the five above mentioned. The student must study this question from the point of view of energy or life force, considering it from the aspect of polarity and of the mystic marriage, from the comprehension of the real meaning of the sex relation, of the meeting and merging of the pairs of opposites, and the work of the one who synthesizes where every type of energy is concerned. Page 830. For instance, A. The ego synthesizes or gathers in the life forces of the fourfold lower man. B. The Maha Chohan's ray on earth synthesizes the life forces of the lower four, This ray is the third subray of our planetary ray. C. The third major ray of the solar system blends the minor four. D. The fifth Kumara blends and unites in himself the work of the lower four. The reflection of all this in the microcosm can be studied by the man who understands how the physical body is the vehicle of all the principles. By the time the third initiation is taken, the inner circle of petals is opened, and the full-blown lotus in all its beauty can be seen. At the fourth initiation, the inner bud bursts open through the effect of the electrical force of the rod, which brings in the power of the synthetic ray of the solar system itself. The inner jewel is thus revealed. The work has been accomplished. The energy resident in the permanent atoms has vitalized all the spirillae, whilst the perfected force of the lotus and the dynamic will of the central spark are brought into full and united activity. This brings about a threefold display of vital force, which causes the disintegration of the form and the following results. A. The permanent atoms become radioactive, and their ring pass knot is therefore no longer a barrier to the lesser units within. The electronic lives in their various groups escape and return to the eternal reservoir. They form substance of a very high order and will produce the forms of those existences who, in another cycle, will seek vehicles. Page 831. B. The petals are destroyed by the action of fire, and the multiplicity of deva lives which form them and give to them their coherence and quality are gathered back by the solar petries of the highest order into the heart of the sun. They will be directed outward again in another solar system. The atomic substance will be used for another manvantara, but the solar petries will not again be called upon to sacrifice themselves until the next solar system, when they will come in as planetary rays, thus repeating upon monadic levels in the next system what they have done in this. They will then be the planetary logoi. C. The central life electric returns to its source, escaping out of prison and functioning as a center of energy on planes of cosmic etheric energy. We have endeavored above to convey a general idea of the evolutionary process in connection with the ego and its progression under karmic and cyclic law. If the student ponders upon these two laws, it will become apparent to him that both might be summed up under the generic term of the law of rhythm. All manifestation is the result of active energy producing certain results, and expenditure of energy in any one direction will necessitate an equal expenditure in an opposite. This, in terms of the ego and its life experience, brings about three stages. First, the stage wherein the energy manifested acts outwardly. The self becomes identified with its sheaths. This is the strictly personal stage. Second, the stage wherein adjustment under law is being sought, and the self is neither entirely identified with its sheaths nor identified entirely with itself. It is learning to choose between the pairs of opposites. Page 832. This is the period of the fiercest strife and turmoil, and the battlefield wherein the adjustment has to be made. It is the laboratory period wherein enough transmutative force is generated by the disciple to carry him to the opposite extreme of the earlier stage, that stage wherein the energy will manifest within and not without. Third, the stage wherein the energy of the ego is centered at the heart of the circle and not in the periphery, being applied from thence through the conscious effort of the ego in group service. The pull of the lower nature is superseded, and the attraction of that which is higher even than the ego is felt. The earlier process has then to be repeated on a higher turn of the spiral, and monadic energy begins to work upon the ego as the egoic worked upon the personality. The monad, which has been identifying itself with the ego, its outer manifestation, begins again to seek its own true center within the heart, and on the higher levels, results affecting distribution and conservation of energy may again be seen. It is necessary to emphasize this procedure because it is important that all occultists should learn to interpret and to think in terms of energy and of force, in contradistinction to the sheaths or instruments employed. The mystic has recognized this force factor, but has only worked with the positive force aspect. The occultist must recognize and work with three types of force or energy, and therein lies the distinction between his work and that of the mystic. He recognizes 1. Positive force, or that which energizes. 2. Negative force, or that which is the recipient of energy, that which acts or assumes form under the impact of positive force. Page 833. 3. Light or harmonic force, that which is produced by the union of these two. The result is radiant energy, and is the result of the equilibrizing of the two others. These three aspects of energy have been called, as has been often said, A. Electric fire, positive energy, father. B. Fire by friction, negative energy, mother. C. Solar fire, radiant energy, sun or sun. Each of these two last aspects demonstrates within itself in a dual manner, but the effect is a unified whole as regards the great unity in which they are demonstrating. End of side 2, cassette number 19, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 833. Continued on cassette number 20.